Rolene Marks joining us from Israel. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. And as always, Dr. Marburg tugs at my heartstrings.
I think what happens is he takes Friday to look back at this week and try and put it into some perspective, maybe not necessarily just for us, but for himself as well. And once you do that, and once you try and look at the week from maybe a little bit of a distance, it does become quite scary.
Well, absolutely. And as he says, we've got to look after each other. And I think no matter where we are in the world, it's such an imperative right now.
It is indeed. Let's talk about what's happening in Israel. The IDF has targeted Gaza in response to the arson balloons. Give us some information here.
Well, yesterday we had about 4 arson balloons. This is environmental terrorism that were sent over the border from the Gaza Strip into Israel. Now, we're in the middle of a heat wave. It is summer as it is, and very, very hot here, very, very dry. And thank goodness they did not manage to do major damage. They did start 4 fires, but thank goodness those came under control very quickly. But we've warned Hamas that, you know, we will treat these arson balloons the same as we would treat any rockets or projectiles coming over the border. And last night, the IDF struck Hamas targets, including a weapons depot, in response to these arson balloons being sent into Israel.
It's just an incredible thing. So what is the status with the ceasefire? Does it exist? Doesn't it exist?
Well, we do have the ceasefire in place. It is sort of holding, if that makes any sense. And we do know that Prime Minister Bennett was on the phone to Egyptian President Sisi, trying to look at ways we can get the ceasefire to hold. It's important that it does. We don't want to go back to a scenario that we had just over a month ago, where we have this massive flare-up, which costs lives on both sides. So all efforts are being made from our side, from Egypt's side, to try and ensure that we have calm. Coupled with this, we have what we can really see, a growth in the push to try and retrieve or get the prisoner swap or some kind of swap, where we see the remains of Oron Shaul and Hadar Golden returned back to Israel for a dignified burial, and also for our civilians that are still being held in captivity, Hisham al-Sayed and Avera Mengistu, to be released safe and sound. You know, last week you and I spoke about the massive simcha that was the wedding of Gilad Shalit. We can't forget that he spent 5 years in captivity in Gaza, and we really want our 2 civilians, as well as the bodies of our fallen, returned to us. You can see in the optics coming from Prime Minister Bennett's office, always images of the 2 fallen soldiers behind him. We've heard President Rivlin this week at the United Nations, there with Leah Golden, the mother of Hadar Golden, pushing for the release. Yesterday, before he left to meet with the families in Surfside in Miami, Leah Golden meeting with President Biden, she had some quite strong words for him. She said, you know, you're spending millions of dollars in rebuilding Gaza, but it has to be conditional. It has to be contingent on my son's remains and the remains of Oron Shaul coming home, so that they can have a dignified burial. That's within the remit of the Geneva Convention, you know, the returning of prisoners, the returning of human remains, and also just religious respect for them to be returned.
Yeah, very sad situation for the family as they battle to have found closure. And I think this receiving the body back so that they could have a burial, have a place to commemorate, is so, so important. Let's just talk about what is happening in Miami. The IDF very, very involved, and there was an incredible incredible interview yesterday. Tell us about this.
Well, this is just extraordinary. You know, we speak about our soldiers, our incredible, the incredible way that they conduct themselves, the pikuah hanefesh, looking after each other, the sanctity of life, which is something that Israel holds at our very core. It's at the very core of the Jewish people. And yesterday, in an interview with CNN with the commander, Colonel Golan Vach, who is overseeing the Israeli contingent that are on site helping hundreds now of American rescue workers. And I've had so many bizarre comments online, Howard, that I just cannot wrap my head around. But the journalist from CNN, you know, pushing him, saying, you know, how many bodies have you recovered? And he said, we have recovered some people, stressing that these are not bodies we are dealing with. That regardless of what religion they come from, and we've also heard from Rabbi Shlomo Lipska, one of the Rabbonim who are active in the area, speaking about how other communities are just so grateful for the care and the love being shown by the Jewish community and their appreciation for the IDF being on site and for the help that we are giving. He stressed that these are people. We're not talking about bodies. We're talking about people who are sadly no longer with us. He says, we have found some more people. We have found people. Unfortunately, they are not alive. And now this has been picked up by people on social media. Somebody who goes by the handle of this guy, who says, you know, the IDF, we have found people inside. CNN, you found bodies. The IDF, we found people inside. Unfortunately, they were not alive. There is something profound about the way these two men speak about Americans who died in this tragedy. Somebody who calls themselves Markle News, I'm assuming no relative, Howard, says the CNN reporter wants to sensationalize while the Israeli commander spoke with respect of the human lives that have been lost. He is an excellent example of a leader, statements and a sense of duty. Grateful for all the rescue workers waiting for my family member to be found. As somebody else saying, the Israeli commander's humanity and professionalism is heartening in a sea of destruction and tragedy. Extraordinary, extraordinary, just a masterclass in dignity and respect and how we conduct ourselves.
And Biden himself, as you mentioned earlier, going to visit the site in Miami.
The president has visited the site. He spent apparently a lot of time with the families, making sure to meet each family member, and then meeting with the governor of Florida, with the mayor of Surfside and neighboring counties, Bell Harbor, etc., meeting with them, talking to the rescue workers, thanking them for their efforts. It has been incredible to see the gratitude for our Homefront Command elite search and rescue team that are on site. And you and I discussed it earlier this week, some of the bizarre comments, you know, why a country of five or hundreds of millions of Americans, you know, would require Israelis to come in. First of all, there are Mexican search and rescue people on site now as well. This is now a multinational effort, Mexico, Israel, and the United States. But this is an area where Israel has unique expertise dealing with these kind of tragedies. And we're on site for several reasons. First of all, because we have unique expertise. And second of all, because America's our ally, and this is what you do for your allies in a time of great need. And also because we are there, because our diaspora communities are part of our extended families. Our Diaspora Affairs Minister Nachman Shai is there as well to reassure families. And this is what you do for your family.
Absolutely. And Mervyn says, what is Ilhan Omar saying about this tragedy? Well, I think our next story says everything about that. And that is the rabbi, a rabbi who was stabbed in Boston.
This is a horrendous story. Rabbi Shlomo Naginsky, he's an Israeli citizen, a Chabad rabbi, and anyone knows who knows Chabad knows that Chabad, wherever they operate in the world, just open arms and hearts, you know, to all. He was stabbed 9 times. Thank goodness he is in a stable condition. He is in hospital. The attacker has been apprehended. He is 24-year-old Khaled Awad. What does Ilan Omar say? You know how it has been strange. We haven't heard a peep from Ilan Omar or the usual big mouths about the tragedy in Surfside. You know, if they really were concerned about their fellow American, instead of pointing fingers at minority communities and other conflicts around the world, they would also hightail it on a plane down to Miami to offer some assistance and reassurance. It is not just the Jewish community that have lost a tremendous amount of its members, but other communities, you know, American citizens.
Well, I was just going to say, what religion they are is only relevant if you're connected to the religion. If you're not, it should be a tragedy for all Americans.
Well, this is it, and this is what I find profoundly disturbing. I've spent a lot of time this week speaking with our Wietzo ladies who are on site there. Lovely article in the JTA about how the community is rallying around these bereaved families. What we do know for sure is that there was one of the victims, Joe Clayman, who passed away. Many came for the funeral of somebody who had passed away from COVID. They came from Costa Rica as well as New York. And there were New Yorkers who were staying in the Champlain Towers when it fell. You would think AOC would hightail it down there, Howard, because she's lost some constituents. I'm just saying, or that congresswomen who have a lot to say would express their sympathies. But sadly, no, they haven't.
Yeah, well, it's very, very hard to pretend that you care when you really don't. And finally, the other story that I wanted to talk about was the story with the United Nations Human Rights Council.
Well, this is very interesting. You know, you and I have been speaking a lot about the protests that are taking place in Ramallah. These are anti-Abbas protests and the way that protesters have been treated by Palestinian Authority security forces, journalists being beaten up, including several female journalists, and this intense effort to crack down on protesters while using violence. Well, we finally heard from the United Nations Human Rights Chief on something other than pointing a finger at Israel for a change. Michelle Bachelet, who has said, please allow these protests to go on, allow them to protest peacefully. Please, you know, don't resort to beating protesters with batons and firing tear gas and stun grenades at them. And she said she was concerned about the presence of a large number of non-uniformed people acting in a seemingly organized, coordinated manner with the Palestinian forces. In other words, there are those plainclothes people amongst the uniformed beating human rights activists, journalists, and various other protesters. I just want to know if we're going to see a front page of the New York Times dedicated to this.
We haven't seen it even reported in our news, I must tell you. It has not made the South African news, not on social media and not on mainstream media. It is just silent. It doesn't exist, which is incredible. Because isn't that as dishonest as reporting a story with bias? Maybe if it's maybe it's worse because it's gaslighting.
Absolutely. I think we can call it several things. We can call it gaslighting. We can call it dishonest, and we can call it extreme and utter hypocrisy, and we can call it the use of taking a Palestinian narrative when it can be used to push an anti-Israel or anti-Semitic agenda, but when it comes to the real suffering of Palestinian people, the usual big mouth BDS, and we know there are many of them that are listening as we speak, Howard. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm throwing down the gauntlet here. Hey, big mouths, do you have anything to say about this?
Well, they can't. How can they? Because they claim to be about Palestinian rights, but in fact they're just about Israel hatred.
Absolutely. So we want to know, why are you silent when your fellow human rights, because we of course know they're all about the human rights, Howard.
Absolutely.
Your fellow activists are being beaten by Palestinian Authority police. I'm throwing the gauntlet down to you guys. I'd like to hear a response.
Yep, and I think we'll get the same level of response that we get about the reporting.